Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thank you guys so much for being listening and hearing and watching this on live or on the podcast. I really, really do appreciate it. Well, on this show, we aim to make intimate connections with your loved ones, your significant other, children, family, friends, business network, community, and your higher power, and of course yourself. And today, in Bringing Intimacy Back, we give you the secret power to intimacy. So today, what we're talking about today is self-intimacy, that self-love, that self-connection. And today, I'm so happy to have a good friend and a wonderful guest who, this is what she does, is helping people connect with themselves. And she has a business called The Best You Coaching. Her name is Courtney Miller. And Courtney, I would love to welcome you on as this guest for today's show.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really grateful to be here. I'm thrilled to be a part of this journey for you. This is awesome.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me just tell you about a little bit about Courtney. Courtney is what I consider a transformer. Okay, and what I mean by that is that in her younger, well, I mean, of course, she looks young now. Okay. But when she was a little bit younger, she was struggling with her weight, obese, and just had a lot of issues financially, relationships, a variety of different things was going on. And I'll let her explain more about that. And she didn't know how to turn herself around because she was what we call sometimes just stuck. So she got a life coach, which is what she is now, who encouraged her to dream and to achieve and to have goals and to do something different. And that completely changed her life. In fact, she was so inspired by it that in 2013, she decided to become a coach herself. And she's been coaching clients and helping them become transformers themselves. And since then, she's, of course, lost weight. Relationship is better. She's married with two children. Going on vacations, just living the life. So, Courtney, welcome so much back here. Yes. I know I just briefly talked a little bit about your background, but could you seriously let us know how you came about to being a life coach yourself and a transformer?
Okay. So I'm going to try to do this so that it doesn't take up the entire hour of me just telling my story, because I can. But essentially, in 2007, I was in a very, very stuck space in my head. I had a what I felt was a fairly meaningful job, and with great, you know, earnings. And it was one of the first times in my life that I felt like I had really been achieving in my career, as opposed to just being job to job. However, I had my daughter, and I had mom guilt.
Yes, of course.
and I quit that wonderful job to become a mom, and I started taking on part-time work. So by 2007, I definitely was battling with depression. Some of it was hormones, of course, with postpartum, but you know, beyond hormones, when we get in our own head and we start doing that whole spiral, it's so easy to buy into the stories of not being enough. And I was definitely buying those stories at that point. I was working part-time in a bingo hall, which was not an amazing career. It was fun though. I did have a lot of fun. It was, I almost saw a few fist fights break out between elderly people, but it was definitely not, I knew that I was not on the path I needed to be, but I didn't know how to change it. So it was actually that year that somebody handed me a copy of the movie, The Secret, which kind of opened my eyes up a little bit. And I went, this is interesting. It piqued my interest. And because I was starting to open up to the possibilities of how I could change and how I could really access divine guidance and support from my higher power and all of that, to really feel on purpose and on point again, I started to work with a life coach, which was one of those wonderful things where your paths cross exactly when you're ready, right? When the student's right. ready, the teacher appears. Right. Yes. So the teacher appeared, and I started working with her, and she gave me some really wonderful tools, which I still use, and I now pass along to my clients. But I used those to get a deeper understanding of what it is that really lights me up. Because right. a lot of times we get into the grind and we get into the, oh, I got to pay the bills. I got to pick up the mm-hmm. kids. I got to make dinner. We're in that headspace and we forget to live.
Right. Courtney, do you remember that moment where it switched in your head?
Yes. Actually, I know the moment when I kind of got that big epiphany, which was I was sitting in a seminar. It was before I even had met that specific life coach, but I was sitting in a seminar and there was a gentleman speaking from the front of the room, and he was a life coach, which I had never heard of before that moment in time. Okay. And he was telling his story of being depressed and broke and divorced and all of these different things. And I was going, identifying with his story. And it, as he told his story, not only did I see that he had transformed, I started to get hope that I could transform.
Wow. Okay.
And I could feel that there were other people in the room also, you know how when you're in a crowd of people and they're starting to get excited, you can feel
right.
it. It's palpable.
Right. It's contagious.
I could feel that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so two things happened for me at that point. First of all, it was the first time I ever took real action to start changing my life. I decided to participate in his program, which was not a one-on-one. It was more of a workbook. But the other thing that I did I experienced at that point in time was while he was speaking, I had this lightning bolt. That's what I want to do when I grow up. I want to be standing at the front of the room telling people that they can have a better life and inspiring them.
Right. So it became work to get there.
Yeah. And I had some work to do from that point on. Cause at that point I was obese and I was still, you know, broke and dealing with some crummy relationships and all that kind of stuff. So for me, that moment in time is very pivotal, and it's very easy for me to bring back the emotions of that specific moment in time. Because how often in our lives do we really get a clear flash right. like that? So it definitely stood out. Yeah.
On the show here, we talk a lot, because it's called Bringing Intimacy Back. We talk about intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so I want to hear from you, what exactly does that, when you hear that word, and today's show is about self-intimacy and self-love, what does that mean to you, Courtney?
That is a great question. So for me, in my own definition, I feel that self-acceptance is a big part of self-love. So no matter where you are in your life, if you're not where you think you should be yet, or if you're not accomplishing what you initially set out to accomplish, or maybe you're just in that place where you're stuck, part of the transformative process is acceptance. Mm-hmm. Where you are right now and who you are right now, and who you are right now is a part of who you will be in the future.
Right.
So having some acceptance for, okay, well, this is where I am right now. So what can I appreciate about where I am right now and who I am right now? And then how can I step forward into that better version of myself that I can see that is available to me?
Yes.
So acceptance, I think, is a huge, huge piece of self-love.
Yes, and I would agree with you. I think definitely, you know, if you're struggling and if you're stuck, putting yourself down, calling yourself names, saying this and that, just makes you more stuck.
Absolutely.
Learning how to, hey, accept where you are doesn't mean when you accept that you're going to be there forever.
Right.
You know, I think that's what some people think. If I accept this, that means I'm going to be here forever. But that's not.
Right. And so another, here's another great word for you in the path to self-intimacy and self-love. And the word is surrender, which goes hand in hand with acceptance. And I've had some very interesting conversations about this word specifically with my husband, because I have said to him, you know, just surrender, just give into the moment. And really, surrender kind of gets a bad rap. We get this idea in our head that surrender means defeat.
And it
does not necessarily mean defeat. Surrender means stopping the fight.
Can you explain more about that? Yeah, absolutely.
So when you are fighting against, like we were talking about acceptance, when you're fighting against, this is not where I want to be. This is not who I want to be. This is not who I want to be with. This is not the job I want to be in. When we're in those places, we're fighting.
Right.
When we surrender and say, okay, well, this is where I am. And this is, I know that this isn't where I'm going to stay because everything is temporary. Right. So giving into that idea of, okay, so this is where I am right now, but that's not where I'm going to be tomorrow. It might not even be where I am in 5 minutes.
Right.
So that surrender is not so much a defeat as it is an allowing of your dropping that ego place.
Okay.
And allowing the your higher version of yourself to guide, as opposed to being in the, well, you know, the toddler, I want it and I want it now. You know, that's your ego.
Yes.
You're trying to dictate how it's going to come, you know. But when you surrender, it comes to you, whatever it is. Maybe it's a better relationship. Maybe it's, you know, growing your family. Maybe it's a career move, whatever it is for you. When you're in a space of surrender and allowing and acceptance, you will many, many, many times get a solution, or you'll get a result that is even better than what your ego had planned.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, when you're doing all that fighting, you're using all that energy toward negativity.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Yes.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
Yes. So how surrender just, yes, it allows you to take a break and center that energy toward more positive things. Definitely.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I just had an image pop into my head of the idea of like if somebody is flailing around in the water and a lifeguard is sent in to save that person and they are in a panic.
Right.
They have to stop panicking in order for that lifeguard to pull them out of the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes the lifeguard literally knocking them out to get them out of that place. And that's what, you know, in my experience, that's what my higher power, I call my higher power God or the universe, well, my higher power has knocked me over the head a few times and said, knock it off. I'm trying to help you.
Yes. Yes. So one of the things that I do want to ask you, the best you terminology, because that's in everything you do.
Yes.
Yes. How did that come about and what does that mean to you?
That is a great question. So that came about when I started looking at how I wanted to, you know, present what I do. I started thinking about what is it that people can identify with? Where do they want to see changes? So BEST is actually an acronym. So it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful combination of things. So BEST for me stands for balanced, empowered, and successfully transformed.
Mm.
So for me, my journey and the reason why I even set foot on this path in the first place was because those were the things I wanted. I wanted to feel balanced. I didn't want to feel like I was on the roller coaster all the time emotionally. I wanted to feel empowered. I wanted to feel confident. I wanted to feel that self-love. And successfully transformed, you know, that can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, what transformation looks like. It can be transforming from, you know, that space of self-hatred, calling yourself those terrible names, being a bully inside your head to yourself, transforming from that to being a caregiver for yourself.
Right.
So that's where BEST came from, was really, I just thought, oh, you know, I love acronyms. So being able to take those concepts and making them into a word like that was great. And then, of course, the idea is I want to help my clients, not even just my clients, I want to help as many people as possible to feel like they are the best version of themselves, that they are showing up on a daily basis and genuinely being their best and giving their best, and then also receiving the best.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about what you just mentioned, being a caregiver to yourself so that you can be the best you. I mean, that is fabulous. So we're going to take a short break, and then when I come back, we're going to focus more on that right there. In our short break today, what I really want to talk about is a new thing that I'm doing called vacation counseling. If you're out there listening and you're in a relationship, maybe, and maybe you're struggling for a little bit, and you're saying, I'm not sure, we're struggling, we don't know what we're doing, we're maybe having difficulties communicating, relating to one another, well, check out a website that I have called Vacation Counseling. As a couple, you guys can come down to Southwest Florida, which is paradise, enjoy a luxurious vacation rental villa, enjoy yourselves, have play in the boats. There's pools, there's jacuzzi, a variety of different things that you guys can do here. And while you're here, we can provide counseling services as a couples retreat. You will get a relationship counselor, a sex therapist, which is myself, and also some personal therapy to work on you and the relationship to help you guys become better successful. We will also help provide you with counseling service once you leave the area, if you're not here in Florida. But if you're thinking about it, just think about vacation counseling, which is coming up this summer, 2020. All right. Now that we're back, so we were just talking about, you said to be the best caregiver yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about, just starting from in the beginning, where do you think self-intimacy even actually start? Do you start it, I don't know, when you're 25, 50? Where should it start?
Oh gosh, I think it should start as early as possible. I'm very fortunate to have young kids when I am not especially young myself, although I appreciate the compliment.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm going to be 45 in March, and I have
a full... Yes.
Thank you. No, actually, I'm 75. I'm lying. No, I'm going to be 45 in March. I have a 4-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Okay. So I have the opportunity with them to almost have like a do-over, right, from my own experiences as a child and an adolescent. My son has experienced more of the quote-unquote best version of me than my daughter has, because I have been in a much, much better headspace from conception on with my son, to be honest. My daughter, of course, came around. She was born before I had that big epiphany in 2007. Right. So she's seen different versions of her mom, you know? Mm-hmm. So with my son, I see that he already is learning how to express gratitude on a daily basis and how he can celebrate his victories Mm-hmm. And he's allowed to celebrate his victories as opposed to say, don't toot your own horn.
Right.
You know, I'm not teaching him that lesson. I'm teaching him, yes, that's awesome. Good, you did great.
Good.
You know, so I think that's the beginning. But if you're listening to this or watching this and you're not 4 years old, you know, and you're ready to start and you feel like you're not in a space of self-intimacy, there are, I think, some things where you can start to have a love affair with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the phone recently with somebody who was, as we were speaking, and she's just a friend, she's not a client, but as she was speaking, she was bashing herself.
Mm.
She was in that headspace where she was just, oh, you know, I just this and that, and I'm
right.
And
right.
I'm neurotic, blah, 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 right? And I said, why don't you start writing love letters to yourself?
Mm.
And she said, what? let me explain. I said, you know, even if it's just a little post-it note,
right,
just start writing down things that you appreciate about yourself, what you love about yourself. Because she is also in a situation where she does not have a romantic relationship, mm-hmm. and really, really wants one. And I said, you're not going to have a healthy, wonderful, fulfilling relationship with anybody else until you start loving yourself.
With yourself, definitely.
Absolutely. And so she was intrigued by that. And she says, you know what? I love this idea. I want to start doing this right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great place to start, is appreciation for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great exercise that I run through with my clients, which is to have them sit and write down 5 things that they love about their body.
Mm.
Which some of us struggle with.
Yes, yes.
Especially women, right? Yes. So 5 things you love about your body and 5 things that you love that you have accomplished.
Okay.
You know, celebrating your accomplishments. Because sometimes, again, we're in that headspace we've been taught, don't toot your own horn.
Right.
This is your opportunity. Because if you are seeing yourself as a continuous failure, it's really hard to express love to yourself if you're so busy expressing criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take a step back and look at, well, you know what? I have done this and I am proud of that. And this is a good thing. And when you really start taking stock of that, you start to go, yeah, you know, I'm not such a bad person. You know,
yes.
I'd like to hang out with me for a minute, you know?
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. So Courtney, you were saying, and I definitely agree with you that it does start into childhood.
Mm-hmm.
For that self-love. And as parents out there, that's really important to encourage that self-love for your children. And having them hear compliments, but having them feeling it's okay to get a compliment, and also having them say, you know, it's okay to say, hey, I did this great thing. And that starts early on. And so I think that it's just really, really great. The other thing that you were mentioning, because we've been talking about self-intimacy and stuff, and so some people may say, well, how do I know if I don't have it? And I know I said earlier that negative self-talk when you think negatively of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you also just even mentioned when you think negatively of your body and you criticize yourself and stuff. Are there any other things that you can think when someone isn't truly loving themselves, how they can tell that they're not being the best them?
You know, people around us are wonderful mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a great place. If you are not sure of what your relationship with yourself looks like, take a look at what is being reflected back to you. You know, if you have children, they sometimes are brutally honest, right? And they will point out to you, you'll see it because you'll hear them say something out loud, like, oh, I'm so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, okay, so where did they learn that? Probably from me, right?
Nice.
If you are, maybe you have coworkers that continuously show disrespect to you, probably because you're not showing respect for yourself. Because when you're not showing respect and love to yourself, you basically give others permission to do the same.
Mm.
So the people around us are great mirrors if you're not sure of what your relationship with yourself is like. But then again, going back to that idea of what can you name about yourself right now that you can appreciate? Right. If it takes you half an hour to write down five things, that might be a clue. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very, it can be very simple. We can overcomplicate things, but this can be very simple. It can be as simple as when you see a reflection of yourself, do you think, oh God, my hair's gone flat again? Or, you know, yes. or do you go, hey, sexy, good to see you. You yes. know, I have an alarm that's going off on my phone every day at the same time that the alarm actually, because on my phone, I can name an alarm. Okay. So I have an alarm that goes off every day at about 3:50 or something like that, that says I am sexy and energized.
Mm. Yes.
It's a fun little affirmation that I give myself every day, and it goes off. And sometimes I see it and go, no, I'm not, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But most of the time it just makes me smile.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm a strong believer in having affirmations. Mm-hmm. And affirmations, for audience members out there, it's saying I am the positive mm-hmm. things. Sometimes you're able to figure it out. Sometimes it's maybe best if you have a higher power to pray about it, but you should have positives I ams. And what I've done with my affirmations, I've recorded them. Mm. So I can hear it in my own voice, and especially on days when I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? It's April, listen to your affirmations. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause I think, yeah, sometimes people are, they love to do a lot for other people, but they have a hard time doing stuff for themselves because they see it as being selfish or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? It's on that same train of thought, again, going back to how do you diagnose, how do you self-diagnose that you're not having a love affair with yourself? Pay attention to your I am statements. You know, what kinds of things do you say I am? Because whatever you say after I am, you own.
Mm, whatever you say after I am, you own. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. Okay. That is powerful right there. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going to stop and take a little break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about whatever you say after the I am. And also maybe when it's a time to get help or get a coach. Yes. So in this break here, I would like Courtney to tell us a little bit about what she does and how we can reach her.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So I work with clients both one-on-one and in workshop and group settings. I will have an online course available in 2020. It's not up and running yet, but it will be. And basically what I do is I help my clients identify what their limiting stories are, and I help them rewrite it. And I do that through one-on-one coaching. I do that through specific exercises. And I do that with, again, encouraging them to be in that space of self-love and gratitude. Now, people can find me through my website and sign up for an email list. They'll get invitations to upcoming workshops that way. And that's bestyoucoaching.com. I'm also on social media, of course. I'm on Facebook. If you want to find me there, it's Facebook Best You Coaching Now. And I'm on Instagram as CoachCourtney75. But I would love to just have a conversation with anybody who is not sure if they need a coach, because you may not, you know, and maybe you do, and maybe I'm not the coach for you, but that's okay. The idea is start searching. If you are feeling like you are living a life that is colorless, if you are not experiencing joy on a daily basis, you can. And it is very easy, but you have to take action. It won't just fall into your lap. And that's where a coach can be very helpful, because I heard somebody use this analogy the other day, and I love it. You cannot read the ingredients list from inside the jar. Mm. Sometimes you need somebody standing outside of yourself to say, oh, well, you know what? This is where you're stumbling, right? I can see it because I'm standing over here. You know, so that is what I can offer to people as a coach, is to give them a change of perspective and then give them some specific exercises, tools, homework, and conversations to really start genuinely implementing changes in their life.
Wow. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that there's people out there like you that are helping people, you know, to go and to achieve better for themselves. So one question is sometimes, and it also comes up in therapy and stuff, where people say, well, I have a spouse or a best friend or someone else who my supervisor pumps me up. Why do I need a coach? Because I have friends and they, mm-hmm. or a mother. I mean, we all have
right? Yep. So yes. Why would you want a coach as opposed to a manager or your best friend? Or
yeah.
Okay, so we're kind of back to that can't read the ingredient list from inside the jar. Sometimes they're a little too close, you know, or sometimes you might have that best friend that no matter what you say, like you walk on water, right? And no matter what you say, it's all, oh, everything's going to be okay, honey. It'll all be okay. I'm not the person who's going to say everything's going to be okay. No, but I will say we can take steps together. And mm-hmm. make it okay. And we can look at how, you know, this one thing that happened over here that at first blush feels like a tragedy or incredibly uncomfortable moment or whatever. Let's take a look at that again and see where the transformation is in that. Because there is, there always is, if you really take a good look at it. So having a coach versus a close friend or a manager, you're going to have somebody who is a little bit more removed and a little bit more objective than your friends or your family or somebody who has an emotional stake in what comes out of their mouth a little bit more. Like, you know, if your husband is your coach, there may be some rough times ahead, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So another thing that people sometimes say is that even in the sense of, and you know, as a mom, as an entrepreneur working and stuff, it's just, you're so busy doing X, Y, Z. I don't even have time to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Not even to go get a coach. I mean, why should I? Because I got to do this. I got to have dinner on the table. I got to do this. If I go and do X and take care of myself and have a coach, something's going to fall apart.
Mm. Okay. So, there are a few answers to that. First of all, if you're not taking care of yourself, who is? And if you're not taking care of yourself, how the heck are you taking care of anybody else? Mm-hmm. Genuinely taking care of somebody else. Okay, right. So if you can't fully 100% show up for anybody or anything in your life if you're not 100% showing up for yourself. You cannot give from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. So if you are running yourself ragged and you quote unquote don't have time to take care of yourself, guess what? Pretty soon you will have a wake up call and you will be forced to take care of yourself. Maybe it's a heart attack. Maybe it's a car accident. You know, maybe it's something else that literally takes you out of action so that you are forced to take care of yourself. And, you know, for some people, that's how far they have to go before right. they realize that they need to do it. But why not save yourself a lot of pain? And again, get to that point of surrender to go, you know what? I do want to have a better experience day to day. And it doesn't mean that you don't still have things happen when you're working with a coach and you have a different outlook.
Right.
You are just going to be much more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're taking care of yourself, it's amazing how other things start taking care of themselves. It's again, it's that reflection, right? Mm-hmm. If you're taking care of yourself, all those things like, oh, I have to do this and this and this and this. If you're really putting yourself on your priority list, you also learn to start asking
right.
for help and not just, you know, it's stuff like, hey, babe, I know you're going to be driving right past the dry cleaners. Can I get you to pick up the dry cleaning? Because I've mm-hmm. got to get home and get dinner started. You know, it's a really simple thing, but a lot of times when we're in that headspace of, I can't even take care of myself, I don't have time, you are probably not delegating right. anything because your ego says, I have to do everything or it doesn't get done. It's just not true. You are seriously not that powerful.
Yes. Well, there was three key words that you mentioned just now that I want to expand on. One is showing up.
Yes. Okay.
What exactly? Because someone's like, showing up. Well, I'm always everywhere, but are they really everywhere?
Right. Okay. So what does showing up look like? Okay. So it's absolutely possible to be having a conversation with somebody and doing the grocery shopping in your head. Right?
Right. Of course.
We've all done that. Yes. And some of us are doing that in intimate moments with our partners. You know, we're not 100% present. So when you are present, that means you are right here. You are in the moment. You're 100% engaged. You are hearing both the things that the person who you're speaking with is actually saying, and you're hearing what you are saying.
Right.
You know, when you're 100% present. So, a lot of people get into these like adrenaline sports and everything. The reason they do that is because it forces you to be present. Because if you are climbing a rock face and you're thinking about the groceries, you're going to die. So, here's the thing, you don't have to necessarily be an adrenaline junkie to be present. That's just one of the ways that you can snap yourself into to being 100% there. But, you know, when you're showing up for people, when you are keeping promises to yourself, you can then also be relied upon by other people. So if you've been promising yourself for 10 years now, I'm going to take off that 20 pounds.
Okay.
This is the year. I'm going to do it. And then next year, we're right back here and you're going, oh, now it's 25, you know, and you broke that promise to yourself. Right. Who can rely on you if you can't even rely on you?
That is powerful. And like you said before, who's looking after you if you're not looking after you?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. It's so powerful to even think that and to stop. And so part of one of the words that you've been saying, I think you probably have said it 20 times, is action.
Action. Yes. I am a very action oriented person. I do not like sitting still. In fact, recently I had an illness. I had a sinus infection that managed to rob me of my voice for nearly 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yes.
Which was super fun. But, you know, basically it forced me to sit down and shut up.
Okay. Yes.
Because I am such an action-oriented person. Sometimes the action needs to be inaction, right? Sometimes the action is you just need to sit still for a minute. You need to allow yourself to rest and rejuvenate. But we are typically bodies in motion, right?
Right.
And if we are just thinking about changes or mulling things over, or, you know, we're in our own head.
Mm-hmm.
Typically when we're just in our own head, we don't see big results.
Okay.
We need to sometimes physically do something, and the physically doing something can be something as simple as taking up a pen and a piece of paper and journaling.
Right.
That action can be incredibly powerful. When you change your actions, you can change your results. If you're doing the same thing over and over again,
right,
expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity.
Yes.
So that's why if you want a different result, you've got something, you know, you got to back up a few steps. What is it that you need to be doing differently? There is an action that you can be taking differently than you are now. Maybe the action is that you raise your hand and say, I honestly cannot handle all the tasks that are on my plate today. I need someone to take on these three things. Sometimes the action is, like I said, actually allowing yourself some time for quiet space, you know, with your higher power. I do that every morning. You know, I meditate every morning. Maybe it's the action that you need to take that's a little bit different is that you need to move your body just a little bit more, because it helps your digestion, and before you know it, you've got nice endorphins that are running, and you didn't break a sweat, but you're just going for a nice stroll around the block. And yesterday you didn't do that. You didn't do it yesterday. Today you did it. And what's the result? The result is you feel better, you know? So when you have a plan of action, there's just something very empowering about that, because you now feel like, okay, now I know what to do.
Right.
Now I have the next step. Because usually when we are spinning around in our own head and we don't know what the next step is, that's where we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned just now journaling, writing down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because like you said, when you're in your own head, it's this container in here that can get so overwhelming.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. And if we just keep it in here and don't let it out, whether it's through writing, whether it's through working out, you know, or through, you know, getting help, which is really, really important. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. The other thing that you mentioned is sometimes, like you said, you need to rest.
Yeah.
People think like, oh my gosh, if I rest, the world's going to come down. Or if I rest, I'm, you know, a lazy bum or whatever. And I remind them that even our greatest prophets took time to rest, because we have human bodies.
Right. Yeah, we do. We are beings having a human experience.
Yes. And so that's really, really important.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing with that, with the resting, one of the things that I teach is the four pillars of health, and that is movement, nutrition, sleep, and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have downtime. You have to. If you don't do a brain dump occasionally, you get to that overwhelm.
Right.
And if you don't take that quiet space, it's so simple. It can be 10 minutes. It can be 5 minutes of just taking that quiet space. And a lot of times you'll get amazing answers will come to you. You'll get ideas. You'll get inspirations that just happen because you are sitting still.
Right.
And it's hard to do. There are many days when I have a lot of people who practice meditation, they call it monkey mind, right? Where you're just all over the place, right?
Yes.
I get that too. I'm just another bozo on the bus here. But there, I've also had incredible experiences with meditation where I have had amazing inspirations or insights. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% worth it.
Right.
To take those few minutes, you know, and allow the space.
Right. One of the other words that you mentioned was resilient. And I'm thinking some people are listening and they're saying, well, if I start to love myself, then my life is always going to be perfect.
Which... Good luck. Let me know if that happens for you.
Yes. Yes. And so, of course, life isn't perfect.
No.
But what happens is... you learn tools.
Yes.
Yes. To be the word resilient. Can you explain how you, what that word means to you in reference and what you do? Yes.
Yeah. I am a big fan of Brené Brown.
Oh, yes.
And she talks about resilience quite a bit, shame resilience, because she is a shame and vulnerability researcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that she talks about now, she calls it that she studies wholehearted people. That's what she calls them, wholehearted. And when she's using that term, what she's referring to is somebody who is present in their life, who is experiencing gratitude on a daily basis, who's really, part of their family, who can be relied upon, all that type of stuff. Well, she, in all of the studies, she's finding that these people who are quote unquote wholehearted are also, they're very resilient. So when something painful happens, they experience the pain, but they don't live in it.
Mm.
You know, they have something like a death in the family, which it's normal to grieve for. It's normal to experience the sadness or the anger, And it's okay to pass through that. So by resilience, what I'm saying is you have the ability to pass through that phase as opposed to staying mired in it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're mired in it and you cannot see the other side, you're in a swamp. You're in a swamp. It's a terrible place. Your stuff starts rotting. Yes. You're getting eaten up by mosquitoes. It's a terrible place. When you're mired down in those emotions. But if you are resilient, you recognize that this too shall pass, right?
Right.
Everything is temporary. The joy can be temporary. The gratitude can feel temporary. The anger and the resentment and the depression are also temporary.
Mm-hmm.
If you are working on some specific things, you can build up your immune system, so to speak, your emotional immune system,
right,
to these things.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, even as you were, you talked about the four pillars, but building up your emotion helps on all levels of health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Because people, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on with what you were going to say. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, how often I've experienced where you have something, a emotional trauma of some sort happen, and then 2 weeks later you're sick.
Right.
And you go, ugh, and you're thinking, oh, it's just germs, or I forgot to wipe down the shopping cart or whatever. Your body is a very wonderful, delicate balance of systems. And mm-hmm. It's amazing how much that emotion can impact all of the systems, and of course cortisol,
right,
which it has its place, you know, it does keep you alive, but if you are living in a place where you're stressed out all the time or you're depressed all the time, your cortisol is running riot and you will gain weight,
right,
just exactly. Eating the same, you didn't change anything, same mm-hmm. amount of exercise, same amount of food, you will gain weight if you are stressed, because your cortisol levels are flooding your body. And it'll do the same thing to your immune system. It suppresses your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of awful things we can do to ourselves just from our thoughts. But the good exactly. news to that is there's the other side of the coin too. There are lots right. of great things we can do just with our thoughts.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. And so on the flip side, like you said, the great things here, we've been talking about self-intimacy and stuff, and now we're on the third part of the segment here. What are some tools for audience out there that are listening and they want to increase that self-love, that self-intimacy within themselves? What are some okay. tools?
Absolutely. I wrote these out in advance so I wouldn't forget anything good for you, for your right. listeners. So here's some ideas for you. First of all, if you want to start to cultivate that sense of self-love, I would definitely recommend sitting down and doing that exercise I was talking about before. Pen and paper. Don't do it on a computer, please. Pen and paper. I can't tell you how many times I have heard, and I couldn't tell you the exact studies off the top of my head, but they've even done scientific studies about this. Pen to paper. There's something about that physicality and something about how our brain functions that when you actually right. physically put pen to paper, that stuff sticks far more in your subconscious than if you were to type something out.
Right, because you actually feel the word that you're making.
Yeah, you do. You do. So I would say pen to paper, sit down and write down those five things that you love about your body right okay. now. Not your body 20 years ago. Right now. What do you love about your body? I am blessed with a great smile. I love yes. my smile. I have a great smile.
Yes,
and
you
I use it as often as I can.
Yes. You know,
so that's one of the things that I can write down and not be embarrassed right. about admitting that I love my smile. Right. You know? So those are types of things that you can do. And you don't have to share this list with anybody else. So don't get, you know, embarrassed about writing down that maybe you think you have a cute butt, you know?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
And you probably do have a cute butt.
So, yes.
But, you know, just write down, like, from your heart, if you stand in front of a mirror, what can you appreciate about yourself right now? Maybe it's something as simple as, I appreciate that my hands work. You know, that I can hold a pen and write. Some people can't, you know. So that's one thing, to love the physicality, because we do get kind of caught up in that whole crazy body image thing. And then the next thing would be to write down five things that you, accomplishments that you're proud of, places where you have crossed a finish line. And I've had people, when I've done this exercise with clients, I've had people say everything from, like, I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud that I raised kids who are functioning adults in the world that are out doing good in the world.
Right.
That's a great accomplishment, you know? So don't put too many boundaries around what you consider an accomplishment. An accomplishment might be, I got out of bed this morning and I didn't kill anybody, you know, you know, don't put boundaries around it, but just think about things that you've accomplished that you're proud of and allow yourself to bask in a little glory there. Another thing that you can do, and this one is really hard. Again, it's going back to that acceptance and humility. Saying thank you when somebody gives you a compliment. Just that. Just thank you, not, oh, you look great too. Thank you. End of it. Allow yourself to receive the compliment. Okay, there's something that happens. It's a little bit transformative in that, just that, allowing yourself to just receive the compliment. Don't say, oh, this old thing, you know, I got this at Goodwill for $2, you know, just thank you. That's a beautiful box. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And receive, get good at receiving compliments. That's a great way to start. Also, when somebody gives you a compliment, sometimes they'll give you kind of an oddball compliment and you go, I never look at myself that way. I had a really odd compliment once where somebody said that I had a beautiful collarbone. It's like, thank you. Okay. That's a first, you know, so allow yourself to say thank you and bask in a compliment. Another thing that that you can do is using that little trick with the affirmations on your phone. Start setting up little love notes to yourself on your phone 2-3 times a day. At times when you know you'll be able to pick up your phone, when it's not going to, you know, interrupt the meeting with the boss or whatever. And you can see that little thing that you're saying to yourself, like, I am sexy and energized. Yes. Or I have one that also goes off that says, I love that I get to be me.
Okay.
You know, so things like that. And again, paying attention to whatever you're putting after I am.
Okay.
So start putting up that filter on what comes after I am. You know, I am grateful. That's a great sentence, right? Right. I am 100% in love. That sentence feels amazing, right?
Yes.
I am abundant.
Yes.
You know, these types of things, those are the things we want to own. We don't want to own, I am ugly. We don't want to own, I am not enough.
Right.
You know, start owning some good stuff for yourself and pay attention to what you're saying after those beautiful words, I am.
Wow. Yes. Thank you so much. I mean, those are wonderful tips that I know I have to get better just saying thank you, but yes, those are just...
Here, we can try it right now. You ready? Let me see if I can find something odd to compliment you on. if you all haven't had an opportunity to be in Dr. Brown's office, she puts out chocolate for her guests. So thank you for making my daughter feel comfortable in your office.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Courtney, it's been a pleasure to have you on our show today. You're a breath of sunshine, you know?
Thank you.
That's like a sun that just transformed the skies and stuff. And so if you guys are out there listening and you want to connect with her, one of the best ways is go onto her website at www.bestyoucoaching.com. As she said, you can find you on Instagram at
Coach Courtney 75. Is that your Instagram?
That's correct. Coach Courtney 75.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And on Facebook at Best You Coaching Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show, Courtney. I really do appreciate it. Everyone out there listening, thank you for listening on the show today. Check us out on Bringing Intimacy Back on Facebook, and I will see you guys the next time. Thanks.
Thank you.